Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon.
Hey, good morning. I'm here with Sue once again. Sue, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, and good morning, everyone.
For some insane reason, it's a giddy morning. Sue looked at me with earphones on and started laughing, and I couldn't stop laughing either. So, anyway, folks, we'll get over the giddiness and on to the envy, which is part of our discussion today. And I don't know where that fits in, but it seems, Sue, that part of the whole moral inventory, by the way, folks, last day on inventory, you won't hear this until again next year in April. But looking at sort of a last look at inventory, everything I read today and yesterday had to do with envy. And I thought, well, it's certainly one of the liabilities we talk a lot about on the sheet here, Sue, in front of you, where we show liabilities versus assets or things to strive for. So one side says watch for, the other side says strive for. Now, the watch for, we see envy, and it came out pretty clear in this morning's reading in the Life Recovery Devotional, too. And of course, the offsetting for envy, or the asset to strive for, is contentment. And, you know, how do you get contentment? Sounds real easy. You know, we hear it scripturally. We hear Paul saying over and over again that he's content, you know, whether he's in chains or, you know, whether he's hungry or whether he's shipwrecked or whether he's full and everything around him is going well. I mean, it's nice to say, you know, I will be content in all things. But I think, again, as per the discussion we started having before we went on the air, you know, are we talking feelings here, Scott, or are we talking decisions? You know, am I going to decide to be content, or am I going to try to feel that I'm content? So I guess it starts with a decision. I don't know, Sue, have you decided somewhere along the line in your life that you are going to be content and happy, and because you seem far more on that side of the line than on the other, whereas I have quite a struggle sometimes to get to that side of the line, and you don't seem to. Is that a facade, or is that the real deal? There you go.
Well, it's probably after 30 years of being in the program, because initially, yes, I felt the envy. More so, I think, that the family was in such dis-ease all the time, right? And mm-hmm. I'd look at other families, and I'd think, you know, like, why can't ours be like that? Like, why do we have to go through all of this, this misery and suffering all the time, right? And like I said, I think everything comes from, like, working the steps, the contentment along with the peace, right? I was flipping through this morning, and, like, know thyself. We need to know ourselves, and the truth shall set you free. And I mean, it definitely does. The more work I do on myself and look for my part, you know, in stuff. I mean, initially, I didn't think I had any part in it, right? It was always someone else that was causing all the problem. And the more I've turned in, you know, what is my part in this? Like you said, why am I feeling like this? What just happened there? You know, what was triggered inside of me there that just happened and I reacted and bingo, you know? The more I did that, and the more I asked for help, really. You know, it's very easy to see the weaknesses in other people. And I always remember when I first went into Al-Anon, someone said to me, the very weaknesses you see in another are the ones that you have yourself. That's how you recognize them, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was a real, that was an awakening for me. And actually it became quite funny, you know, because I'd think, oh my God, like she's a real big mouth. And then this little voice would go off in my head, hello. And I think, right, I'm a big mouth too, right? And I think contentment, a lot of these assets come from the whole of this step four, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, and wanting it.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, like in the beginning, I actually asked, like, what are my weaknesses? What are the things that are holding me back from having a contented life, right? From feeling joy and contentment and peace, you know, what are the weaknesses within me that I'm not seeing?
Yeah.
And I was definitely showed what they were, you know.
I think that's the purpose too. I'm sure you'll agree, Sue, that the moral inventory and looking at a simple sheet like this you know, bringing the relationships in our lives into each area of discussion, you know, whether we feel resentful toward, you know, John, Mary, Harry, Mom, Dad, and so on. And in carrying on through an entire exercise of it, doing those key words, the liabilities, especially the resentment, the pride, the envy, as we just spoke about, and then looking across to see what the, you know, the solutions or the antidotes or things to strive for that would offset these things, what they are, you know. And as we look at the sheet there, we can see forgiveness offsets resentment, humility deals with pride, and again, contentment deals with envy. So I think if we have this little sheet in front of us, folks, that shows 10 liabilities and 10 assets to offset those liabilities. But if we focus on the asset side, the positives, the things to strive for, I think it takes care of a lot of everything. I was looking at it this morning and I thought, well, you know, how can I be? And I was working on being content, you know, and which is the offset for envy. And I thought, well, so how can I, you know, decide to be contented? Because I don't believe that feelings should rule my life. I let that happen for many, many years. But if I use feelings to make my decisions, then they're usually going to be wrong, because I'm going to be making decision out of emotion as opposed to out of what's right. So, you know, I always need this roadmap, this this blueprint for success or for operation of my life. And I need it all the time, you know, whether in my case, it's probably scriptural based more than anything else. But either way, I'm going to make the decisions that I've learned are right as opposed to the ones I feel like making, you know. So if I decide, okay, well, I'm going to be some things and these are the things I'm going to be, or I'm going to make the greatest effort to be, and it's the things on that side of the sheet, the right side of the sheet. You know, I'm going to be forgiving, I'm going to be humble, I'm going to be trusting and unselfish, you know, I'll be charitable or loving, I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be active, and I'm going to be considerate. So I just saying those words puts me in a groove that is just so much more comfortable than, you know, thinking about the things on the other side, the things I might resent or feel pride about or be envious or jealous or selfish or lazy or dishonest or fearful, shameful or inconsiderate. I mean, those words are enough to make me sick just in and of themselves. And yet the offsetting ones make me feel so good. So I don't know, a lot of life I think really is about decision making and not basing things on how I feel. So I don't know, you've lived through that, Sue, you know.
I think so, especially with my favorite word, the love one, because I wanted, I've asked from the beginning, this is what I want to be unconditional love, right? And that was the one thing that I asked for, in actual fact. So I feel that everything is sort of is leading me to that point, all the experiences that I've had. And of course, when you are unconditional love, it it encompasses all of the others, right? Yeah. The humility and the forgiveness and the contentment and the joy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because, like, you think, oh, you know, four step, making amends, you know, like, yuck, who wants to go in there? And so it's not an sort of an appealing thing to do. But the benefits of doing that are amazing because, you know, the truth shall set you free. You are free then, right? Once I see how I tick, I see my good points and my not so good points. And it's okay because that's all part of me, right?
Yeah.
I am a mixture of both of those. Yeah. But like you say, where is my choice going to be? Am I going to focus more on the negative or on the positives that I have, right? And build on those.
Yeah.
And and they just get bigger all the time, right?
So it's actually a joy, isn't it?
It is a joy.
To complete an inventory. Well, it's a joy to do it when you know what, like you said, when you know what the results are going to be. So we're going to know what we have to focus on over the next, you know, for our lives, really, but at least for the next year while we do other things to mend the, you know, the bad parts or the not so comfortable parts of our life. But once we've done an inventory, let's face it, if we don't do one, how do we know what to work on?
Yes.
So we blindly go through life doing all those things and not even, you know, having in a conscious sense the offsetting solutions for each of them. So, like, when this is in our faces during April, for me especially, I look at that thing probably 500 times. I'm feeling far more, you know, forgiving, humble, content than I am probably during the rest of the year because I'm not looking at this thing.
Yes.
You know, where I should really be, in a mini sense, looking every day at, you know, have I been resentful with so-and-so and so-and-so and you know, like in a quick sense, you know, in 5 minutes we can check off, have I any feelings today of resentment, pride, envy, blah, blah, blah. And if I am, oh yeah, I've got to be, you know, unselfish, trusting, you know, and that's another thing. I find the reality for me is that no matter which of those, excuse me, liabilities or assets I'm working on, everything comes back to a trust factor.
Yeah.
You know, am I trusting, you know, myself? Or even more importantly, am I trusting my sense of God, you know? Because if I'm not, then nothing's working.
No.
So like I do these inventories and sometimes in-depth ones, and I always at the end come up with, why am I not trusting enough there? Because if I do, everything else falls into place. Yes. I will be loving. I will be humble. I will be forgiving. It's only when I'm outside of that, that none of those things work. So, got to learn to trust.
Yeah.
You know, got to learn to trust. And, you know, the offsetter here, they say, is jealousy. Now, I had a hard time thinking about that originally, but I understand it today. If I'm jealous of someone, of someone's behavior, because I don't trust them.
Hmm.
If I trusted my girlfriend, why would I be jealous every time some guy comes around her and looks at her?
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, so that quickly told me, oh, you know what? If I have that, you know, that illness of, you know, deep jealousy or something, it's something in me. It has nothing to do with her. And that's another thing. If she is the way I would imagine in my mind when I'm thinking jealous thoughts, then what are you doing with her? You
know what I mean? Yeah.
It's a whole different scenario. So
I think resentments, too. Like, resentments are almost hidden. You don't recognize them as resentments because a lot of them come out as fear, not as fear, as anger, right?
Yeah.
And because I remember asking one time, you know, I was doing a meditation and I got this enormous kind of lump in my diaphragm and I just said, like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
And immediately resentment came into my mind and and it was weird because I thought I had worked on resentment and got rid of him, right?
Mm.
But I obviously hadn't completely, or it had come back, one or the other, right? Because I wasn't paying attention. And the minute I recognized it, it helped dissipate it, right? It was really weird. But, and then the other big one, I think, is fear. I think we're governed by fear today. everyone is so fearful of everything, right? Mm-hmm. So trust.
Yeah.
In your higher power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fear, false evidence appearing real.
Yes, that's exactly, and yeah. it dominates today.
Yeah, it sure does.
You know.
Well, we're exposed to a lot more fearful things because of the mighty internet and all these things that go on there. I mean, we're bombarded every second of every day with every bad thing that goes on in the world and a very minimal part of the good things going on. So, you know, we're hit with bad stuff. So we need to really focus on the good side of these sheets that tell us what solves things. So anyway, with that thought, Sue, we're going to have to take a quick break. This is Scott, your host at 102.9 FM in Stouffville. Folks, listen online anytime. Go to whistlefm.com. Follow instructions. That's the easiest way, and you'll be able to listen online, on your computer, tablet, phone. It's the best way, and I think the future of this kind of radio. So with that, folks, we'll be back shortly.